Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, we're returning to the Los Angeles Auto Show as we reconnect with you here from last week to continue our visit to share a few insights from auto industry folks on the show floor with my handheld microphone. And in the first of our stops with industry colleagues, we're going to go back to one of the best sports cars ever produced, the Porsche 911. We're going to visit with Rob Dickinson, creator and founder of Singer Vehicle Designs, who's gone from fame as a singer and guitarist with a popular 90s British band, the Catherine Wheel, to becoming a graduate from auto design courses to lead a Porsche reimaging and restoration company called Singer Vehicle Design. You know, there are chance encounters when you go to an auto show like the LA Auto Show. You wander the hallways and you try to get to the machinery, but the people are so interesting. You have everybody and anybody who's doing something in the automotive world. Debbie Pollack, a representative of top-level automotive manufacturers and creators, builders, fabricators, a colleague in the automotive industry, and I are walking, and she says, "Here's somebody you've got to meet." And I realize, you know, here's somebody I've got to interview, Rob Dickinson, who is working with one of the most famous brands, and you will have to listen in and think, could you improve on one of the best platforms on the planet? And you can tell us the answer to that question. Rob, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here. Great to see you. Our company is called Singer Vehicle Design, and 4 years ago, we had the idea to try and create a set of restoration services for the Porsche, the air-cooled Porsche 911. That would somehow coalesce into a car that, in our view, could be construed as an ultimate air-cooled 911, which is...
For all ultimate 911 owners out there, they already own the ultimate 911. They think, you come up with an idea here, and I'm playing devil's advocate for the audience. This is a car that's already been considered over and over to be one of the most evolved, the 911 platform.
The 911 evolved from the 356, so the air-cooled 911 was born in 1964.
And they just continued to perfect.
And they evolved it incrementally in a Teutonically conservative way until 1998, when they switched. Basically, the platform stayed almost the same. Well, the 98 was when Porsche ended air-cooled 911 production. Porsche had to draw a line under the air-cooled, normally aspirated engines because they didn't meet emissions regulations and they were too noisy. There was nothing wrong with the engine, but they moved to a water-cooled engine in 1999, and they changed the platform massively. The car became bigger. The 911 became bigger. The air-cooled era, which many see as the golden era of the 911, an era that was shaped by Porsche, the 911 Porsche Motorsport.
It owned, successful around the world, and all the GT
owned the racetracks throughout the late 60s and the early 70s. So what we've tried to do is cherry pick the best elements from that 37-year air-cooled period. We take what is widely considered to be the best chassis from that period, which is the 964 model platform, which ran from 1990 to 1994, and we repatriate that wonderful chassis with the early 911, the original early 911 bodywork from designed by Bootsy Porsche in 1964, but we fashion it in carbon fiber.
Entire exterior is all new.
Yeah, well, the entire shell of the car, the bodywork, is all carbon fiber. So it's an incredibly light and strong material, as I'm sure your listeners know. We worked with Cosworth Engineering, the mighty Cosworth Motorsport company, who have a facility here in Torrance in California. We worked with them for 6 or 7 months developing the air-cooled engine even further. Obviously, Porsche left the development of the air-cooled engine to one side when they had to move to the water-cooled engines, and we've worked with...
You're talking about a reissuing of the best of Porsche by not being the manufacturer,
yes,
but by taking, hand-picking the best best in refinement of the exterior, the best look of the car, interior, working with the Aria Group, right?
We're working with a company called Aria Group in Irvine, who are masters of the composite technologies, and they do all our body work and our paint.
Right? Trim panel?
The interior is done by an incredible company called Interior Concepts, and also in Irvine, who, as you know, the Southern California is the epicenter of custom and skilled art.
We're not talking, when we get to price range, I don't know if you want to quote price, but I know when we get done, the cash register goes ka-ching, and the numbers that come up make you think, this is a high-end, ultimate owner's vehicle.
Yeah, to give you an idea of what goes into what we do, there's about 3,800 man-hours goes into the making of one of our cars. Of course, we're not manufacturers. I must stress that these are Porsches. These are Porsche 911s by Singer, and well over $250,000 of parts alone, that's before the car's screwed together, go into the car. So it's an extravagant, we put a state-of-the-art wiring system in the car.
How new is it when it rolls out?
We can't say the car's new.
I realize you, the audience wouldn't appreciate, you're not Porsche, but you are at the same time having somebody pay a high price for what is a supercar, but not meant to be competing in the Bugatti 12-cylinder, 1,000-horsepower range, but rather a supreme execution of a evolutionary refinement of the 911. Is that fair?
I couldn't have put it better myself, Steve. I can see you've done this before. Exactly. Our goal was a three-pronged attack to create the most beautiful-looking 911, in our view. Of course, these are personal things, but the most beautiful-looking 911, the most beautifully executed 911 in terms of its build quality and specification and attention to detail and overall development. This is a properly developed car that goes down the road properly. And finally, to put together a car and develop a car that was singularly the finest air-cooled 911 anyone has ever driven.
Cosworth, Aria Group, right there. Anybody in the industry knows Aria Group. Cosworth, motorsports buffs know. So let me go technical for a moment with you. Control arms, bushings, electrical, all the wiring, all these things you've referred to. It sounds like you haven't skipped anything in terms of being sure that the car is upgraded where it needs to be, but not arbitrarily. You've selectively picked the best of everything. What's done to the suspension? What's the output of the engine? What are some of the hardware issues that people would want to understand?
Well, the suspension is what we've done in every corner of the car is assessed what Porsche did. If there's nothing left on the table, as engineers say, we leave it well alone. If there's an improvement or an optimization that we can add, we do it, no matter what the cost. So the suspension is optimized through Porsche Motorsport components, and also through some extremely sophisticated damping shock absorbers by a company called Ohlins. We also work with a company
calibrated to that spec that you want.
We spent weeks up at Sears Point near San Francisco.
Compliance for the people that want a relatively smooth car, but performance for that intensity that the car can perform at.
Absolutely. We're using components that will not shake your teeth out, that are so sophisticated that the car drives like a Mercedes sedan, but also goes up the canyons or go down around a racetrack like nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah. Sure. Now then, hardware, just to be sure I understand, you're taking OEM components, lower control arms, and you have struts and so on. Are they the off-the-shelf racing?
The great thing about the 911 was its duality. It had this ability to be a sports car, if you wanted it to be a sports car, and to be something that you could commute with to work on Monday morning. And I think every great 911 has that wonderful duality where you can tune it in and tune it out.
Do you replace those hardware components, those links, those you know?
Every single part on the car is brand new, or restored, or
in many cases, you're going directly to the original equipment manufacturer for those parts.
Yes, I mean, when it comes to suspension, we use all Porsche Motorsport derived suspension in a combination with the road car suspension, and we use some aftermarket Ohlins and KW shock absorbers. The engine is the core engine is a 360 brake horsepower Cosworth built masterpiece.
By itself is just alluring, Cosworth. So then, with respect to people being curious if they've gotten their appetites whetted just a little bit here, website, next place to go, and then price range, starting point approximately?
Well, the website's singervehicledesign.com. Our prices start around about $350,000. That's for a car which is legal in California. It's a smog efficient vehicle. If the smog isn't an issue, the performance can go up. The smog requirements tend to put a glass ceiling on the performance of the car, but obviously if we're free of those constraints, the sky is the limit, really.
What Cosworth has optimized it within those constraints of emission control.
So
yeah,
absolutely. So the price can go well over $500,000 if the customer wants to go that far. We're just about to start building car number 8. We're prepared to do car number 9 and number 10 early next year, so we're very excited.
Any other vehicles in the pipe down the road, or anything you can see that will fit the idea of this refined?
Yes, lots. We're rather proud of this concept. Got some other Porsche-centric ideas up our sleeve, and we're going to be rolling those out probably next year. Yeah.
I wish you success, and I'm sure the audience does too. I understand that it's a large amount of money to quote for a vehicle, but when they learn more about the vehicle, I think that's why they'll know I stopped to talk to you. It's very exciting.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve. I mean, it breaks my heart when I tell people how expensive this thing has to be. I mean, our margins and the business model is this is a voyage of faith, that there are going to be people out there that love this car enough and respect the culture.
If you've always wanted the 911, but it's now 2013, and you realize this is the opportunity to buy something I've always wanted. It's rare, and it's something if you have a passion for the engineering and the hardware.
Absolutely. I mean, we knew we had to attract the right partners to the project, and I think we have. And of course, we're now getting the validation that says that the car is as good as we hoped it would be, and as good as we kind of are shouting about. So we're kind of proud of what we've achieved.
Fantastic, and we'll all be watching and rooting for you, and expecting to see you surge out there with more exciting products. Rob Dickinson.
Thank you.
Well, it seems like some Porsche 911 enthusiasts can live that special best of the 1990s ownership experience here, renewed and even improved into 2013 and beyond. Again, if you got the curiosity and or can spare $350,000, Singer's website is singervehicledesign.com. Now let's head out to a break, and when we return, we're going to swoop over to catch a moment on the LA Auto Show floor with internationally acclaimed Santa Barbara auto stylist and illustrator Mark Sternberger, and then off to join Ace Miller on his favorite topic, automotive history. Stay with us.
May I help you?
Yeah, you stock serpentine belts?
Serpentine? What do you have, a snake under your hood? Parts counter, what's up?
Yeah, I need pads and rotors for an 02 Ford Mustang.
Pads and a distributor rotor? You mean pads and drums?
No, pads and rotors. I think I'll try a few more calls.
Larry's Auto Parts, Phil.
I'm looking for pads and front rotors for an 02 Mustang.
Okay, we stocked the pads. What's your concern on the rotors?
Sounds like the pads have just hit metal.
Well, bring them in and let's measure them. There's a good chance we can machine them for a fresh surface and save you money, too.
Well, yeah. Hey, what about windshield wipers?
Well, we stock wipers and we offer free installation. And in most cases, just the refills without buying the entire blade.
More than auto parts, more than service. Along with the national CarQuest brand. Expertise you experience every visit. Larry's 8-Day Auto Parts, Old Town Goleta, 964-3545. That's 964-3545.
I'm Larry's Auto Parts owner, Phil Unander. Our team is here to be your solution.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways, plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. digital on the web at myused.net, or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, whether you're a passionate car buff or a daily commuter who simply seeks the best in value and integrity, there's a name in Santa Barbara that fits both profiles. Tri-County Auto Glass. Today's auto glass installers all have to service more sophisticated and precise automobiles than just a decade ago. And while the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment, what we all know is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of customer service, which is why Tri-County Glass customers range from Concord Elegance level show car owners to everyday family sedan and pickup truck owners. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit and 30 years in Santa Barbara. While a positive word of mouth reputation may bring you in, courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara. Call them or stop in for a quote on a window repair or replacement today. 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
I'm Scott Budo, owner, manager, and a certified auto glass technician. At Tri-County Auto Glass, we are about quality, safety, and value.
So you're one of those lucky car enthusiasts who has the privilege of owning a rare, vintage, antique, or maybe one of those British specialty cars, the kind that makes heads turn and brings compliments at stoplights. Let's say a Model A Ford, a 29 Buick, or one of those stunning Packards from the 1930s. But one of the challenges of these rare vehicles is finding an auto professional who can wake up that historic machine so the engine will sing that special tune, or have headlights that both glow equally. Maybe just an old-fashioned tune-up the way it used to be, or even servicing that other ancient device, a carburetor. Sounds like a long time ago? Not at East West Motors, where servicing, repairing, and reviving mechanical gems is a daily craft. Owned and operated by a veteran Concord Elegance judge who knows what 100-point quality looks like. At East West Motors, you experience what 100-point collector car service feels like. Call 965-7003. That's 965-7003. It's the best shop this side of Radiator Springs.
My name is Roy Miller, and I approve of this message.
Change your life in a big way.
Well, having a mentor saved me. I did not have a father in the home, and my mother was ill most of the time. And Brent really is a great listener, and he really provided that extra leadership that I needed to really grow and become the person that I became. He's a great big brother.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
And we are back to roll into our next segment. You're tuned into the Car Guys Show right here on News Talk 990 KTMS. Now, with the roving microphone back onto the LA Auto Show floor, which continues through today, actually, just for your information, through today, Sunday, closing this afternoon, this evening, at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Mark Sternberger, you are from Santa Barbara. You come here to the LA Auto Show. I see you, and I think to myself, stylist, designer, sensitive to the trends, not just any one vehicle today, but where we're going into 2013. You've seen the cliche square to round edges. You've seen windshield lines raked back, raked forward. Headlights go from 2 to 4 and now into LED. Into 60 front LED lights. We're entering 2013. What excites you? What disappoints you? What stirs you right now?
I'm very excited about the Kia line. Kia, both Kia and Hyundai, they're doing great work.
Eye-catching cars.
They're eye-catching cars. Also, the price is right. The quality is right. You know, everything is right. They really give the Germans a run for the money. Not just here, but even in Europe.
Right. So thumbs up for Kia and Hyundai.
I would say Kia a little bit more. I favor it a bit more.
What specifically, for folks to know, what catches the eye of a stylist?
You know what? That's funny, but I like the
angularity, the aggressiveness?
Yeah, the aggressiveness. It's got lines. It's got lots of emotion in it, both Kia and Hyundai. And, you know, everybody's doing the cookie-cutter things. But
you're seeing that happen again. It's happened in other eras of the auto industry.
Exactly.
You like the fact that Kia stands out, distinguishes itself. What's a brand, as you sweep the floor with your eyes from here, what else do you like? Are you seeing any trends in the direction we're going that you like?
What we've seen so far is a lot what I call Baroque. A lot of design for small and big cars, way over design, lines that don't fit anymore. And
this offends you almost.
I'm offended.
Overly decorated, overly trimmed?
Overly decorated. Maybe that is because of there's a whole generation or generations of young designers that came into the design world that were, they worked on video games, Transformers, PlayStation, and so on.
So almost a cartoonish effect.
Almost a cartoonish effect, and if you look at some of the latest product, I feel it is over-designed, it's almost like Baroque, but I see that this is now finally going away, and I feel very good about that. I see streamlining, some more class again, and I like that. That handmade look always sells. But you know what? I'm going through the floor here, and I see some very exciting stuff. And it's coming out from Europe. It's coming out from Asia. Good old Detroit is busting their rear end and coming out with some real nice product. And I just hope it continues.
Competitiveness has brought out the best in everybody.
You got it.
Now, when you talk about going into automotive history, when we go over to talk to Ace Miller, the historian, the Concours d'Elegance judge, I have to say, we sit down today in Santa Barbara, and I say, Ace Miller, welcome back to the Car Guy Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's just like old times.
It is old times. You telling us, you saying that we're old or the times are old?
Both.
Okay, well, I'll give you that, because we go back, even if we were infants at the beginning, we've matured, because it was 1994 or 1995, I think it was 95, that the show was already up, and you came on board to offer wisdom, insight, and describe those coat hanger cars, Model A's, Model T.
That's right. Actually, it had something to do with the Santa Barbara Concours back then as well.
Santa Barbara Concours d'Elegance.
Well, I just abbreviated, but you're right. You're correct, yeah.
Now, was that your first Concours d'Elegance to be a judge on?
Initially, it was, yeah, that in 1982.
You became chief judge of the Santa Barbara Concours d'Elegance.
That's true. Years later, I did, yeah.
Directing traffic and being sure that all the judges stayed in line. And
that big parking lot in the sky.
More than a parking lot. It's probably a sales floor, a showroom, or a museum.
Well, it could be a museum.
You know, if you go to heaven and you get the same body or a better body, could you drive a better car?
I'm not quite sure. I have to look that one up.
Could you pick a Duesenberg or a Packard or a Ferrari?
That'd be an incentive to get to heaven.
Well, I'm not in a rush. Now, speaking of that, wait a minute. If we have gold-paved roads, can't we have Ferraris and Packards and Duesenbergs?
I wonder about that.
Yeah.
And do they give speeding tickets up there?
Interesting point. I mean, isn't Nirvana wide open throttle?
For some people, I think they would consider that.
Well, yeah. Come on. Isn't that part of the package?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ace Miller, we converge back here in Santa Barbara. One thing that you've always hit hard is trivia on this history. Now, you got a couple of marks you were talking about before we went up here on the air. Talk to me for a moment about those big fins on Cadillacs. What were they thinking? Come on, that was fun, but talk about a safety hazard, man. You rear-end somebody those fins, you could be like hitting the back of a big razor blade.
It could give you a headache, all right. There's no question.
59 Cadillac. You were saying those are the biggest fins ever, or among the biggest.
Well, for General Motors, yeah. Chrysler had some pretty large fins as well. It was fashionable. I mean, it just was what people did then. People wanted to have fins.
I think we got that. We figured that out by now. What would be the starting? When did you start to see fins? And you've watched these events year after year. You see the fins in all these classic American cars. What year do you see them start to go from round edge, square edge into finned edges?
1948, the Cadillac. That was 48 Cadillac was the first car, regardless of where its origins are from, to have something that was equivalent to a fin. It was a takeoff of the tail fins of a World War II airplane.
48 Cadillac was the celebration of the aviation merging with the car.
There was a lot of influence in automobile design from the war. There's an awareness of airplanes like never before, post-war, and what could be more representative of speed and performance than something that had airplane elements.
Okay. So from 48 to 59, we go nuts. Suddenly fins are on every vehicle just about. Domestically, what about Europe? Were they laughing at us with the fins, or did you see fins in Europe coming?
No, they didn't laugh, because we had a huge influence all around the world. They were reluctant in the beginning to follow our trends, but in time, some of the European cars, not many, and they weren't too outrageous, had some form of...
Give us an example of one that comes to mind, as you think.
Well, the Mercedes in around 1959, 60, there were 220s and 240 Mercedes sedans. They had a very subtle fin. If you look at it, there was just a...
So you come in the early 60s, you can see them. I can see that. That it just was ever so slight, maybe 2 or 3 inches of a fin.
Right. That's right.
Pointed. Actually, it's hardly a fin. It's kind of a pointed tail. Right.
But it had influence. I mean, just the European cars. British cars, the one that's most thought of in terms of fins, back in that area, was a car called the Sunbeam Alpine. A little sports car.
Yeah.
And they had fins very much like a Chrysler, only scaled down.
Sure.
And it was in fashion. It was just what people did.
And today, the United States is no longer the leader in design necessarily, but we still have some trends that are original, and we still do some things that are creative. But at that time, you're saying in the 50s, the U.S. automobile design was world-level leadership.
It was, because we were certainly producing and selling more cars than anyone else.
Yeah. Times change, huh?
Indeed. That's not that way now. And just the sheer magnitude of the industry over here had influence around the world. Maybe the manufacturers elsewhere on their own wouldn't have been inclined to think of fins on a car, but the market was so large and there were so many people that were embracing those things at that time that it just seemed like it was something to do.
In that context of fins, they're in, they're out, aviation comes in, round edges, square edges, what would you consider as a Concours d'Elegance judge to be the golden era of design for U.S. automakers?
Oh, absolutely. Late 30s. No question about it.
What typifies that for people listening?
It was, Deco was coming, it was very strong by sort of the latter part of the 30s.
Glamour?
Well, yeah, glamour was synonymous with a high-end car, you know? Yeah, the Hollywood, those kinds of things had a huge presence with the public. And it was a time of celebration. Cars had already proven their worth. It wasn't a matter of the early cars just being able to get from point A to point B as an accomplishment. It took more to sell a car. And by the late 20s, design started really kicking in.
Flattened out in 39-40 when the war...
Yeah, I mean...
It was the post-war years each time, then, that design surged.
Right. Well, the early post-war years were all pre-war designs. That wasn't everything that was produced in
46, 47, 40.
Right, right. Look at a 40, 41 or 42 Ford, and you'll see a continuation of the same theme until 49.
Okay, so when after the war, the design of what was 1940, 41 was what you saw in 48, 49.
Up until 1948. There are some exceptions. Studebaker was a little bit sooner, 47. They came out with a post-war design. 48 was with General Motors as well. It was their first post-war designs.
So 47 and 46 were tool and die and stampings that were very much pre-war stampings.
Well, there wasn't any incentive to come up with anything new because there was such a hunger for new cars. Well, 5 years of war.
As long as you have the same hardware, you're good to go.
You could sell it, guaranteed.
Now, you know, as we go into 2013, would you be optimistic to say that post 2008 to 2012, we go into 2013... There may be room for optimism in the automotive industry's creativity globally in terms of design. Do you have any feel for that? Any thoughts?
That may well be true, but I think that right now it's so competitive all around the world. There's so many other players now than there was back right after the war. And players not just in terms of makes of cars, but from origin, countries that you could never imagine producing cars like Korea. Japan wasn't really taken very seriously until maybe late 70s, yeah.
Well, now Toyota surged and Honda surged.
Toyota especially. And Honda is really amazing because Honda is a manufacturer that didn't exist prior to World War II. Mr. Honda started off right after the war, I mean, the ruins of the war in Japan. And it started off with something that was equivalent to like a moped and just evolved from there. Speaking of motorcycles.
The trivia question of the week. Now, I think it's noble of you to come back and join me to share your infinite knowledge of automotive history and global intergalactic automotive travel through time back to some novel trivia questions like we've done in the past. And I want to ask you to bring us forward. We talk about the easy question, what color is the White House? You know, that would be open up the phone lines, right? But we're going to do this by email. So you don't have to rush, although as soon as the show's over, you need to jump on your computer and go to thecarguy.com and use the feedback form. There's a form there. You just fill it out and give the answer to this question. So Ace Miller we've gone into a little bit of history, and inside the time we've got, I want to ask you to whet our appetite for trivia here, because we talk about the fins, we talk about round edges, square edges, we talk about big tail lights, small tail lights. You know, all these trends come and go, but there's trivia about auto manufacturers that not everybody knows. Take us into one that we're going to come back on next week. The question is?
Well, this should be something that a car person, or dare I say, a car guy.
Or car gal.
Or car gal.
Or car dog.
I'm not sure about the dog part.
Or car cat.
Maybe, but possibly.
All car cats and all car dogs, welcome to the show.
Roof. Anyway, this is a question I think should be easily answered without too much difficulty by these kinds of people that kind of follow what we're talking about.
Males and females who are car guy type of people.
Anyway, there are two automobile manufacturers in the world that produce automobiles, obviously, and they also produce motorcycles. And what we want to know is, what are those two brands of vehicles? What are they today that produce both automobiles?
Yeah, last time you asked me this, I remember it came up pretty quick. I have to think for a minute. Now, I remember we hit this a few weeks back. We talked about this. We weren't on the air, but you told me this, and I gave you the answer, and you said you're right. Now, I had to think for a second. Folks would already know what the one is. There's one that's like, come on, you don't have to think long. The second one, you got to think longer about.
That's true.
Is that a little bit of a hint?
A tiny bit, but just think about it, and I'm sure that most everyone who has a kind of interest that you and I do will be able to come up with the answers. And this,
even some consumers.
Oh, quite possibly.
Some motorcycle guys and gals.
I would think so.
Okay. Well, here's the fun part. Yeah, you have to like car guy kind of stuff, though, because what you're going to win is a car guy, coat of a car guy, sweatshirt or T-shirt. Have them in both. I think in the winter we'll be promoting the sweatshirt. So you get a free, it's a $24 or $22 value, whatever it is. It's free to you with the answer to that question. So what auto manufacturers manufacture motorcycles? What two auto manufacturers today build motorcycles to? There you have it. And if you know the answer to Ace Miller's auto trivia question, again, you can use the email form on thecarguide.com and on the 2013 individual brands and vehicle models from the LA Auto Show. We'll be spotlighting a range of them into 2013. Thank you all for joining us for this segment on the World of Wheels, and this brings us to a close of another visit with all of you here on The Car Guy Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara on News Talk 990 KTMS and thecarguide.com. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, The Car Guy.